Are you tired of the cookie-cutter approach to education that's stuck in the last century? Are you seeking a win-win situation where your family thrives, your kids' education is revolutionary, and you still get to chase your own dreams? Welcome to Unschooled Unleashed. Unlock your child's genius. I'm your host, Matthew Jarecki, an unapologetic rebel dad and promoter of what many consider to be educational anarchy. You know the world isn't going to be won by those that just toe the line. It's the innovators, the visionaries, and the resilient spirits that are going to thrive. Our mission here is to forge those world changers within our very homes with less stress, energy, and time. Unschooled Unleashed starts now. Welcome back to another fantastic episode of Unschooled Unleashed. I'm your host, Matthew Jarecki, and today we're going to talk about the hidden costs of traditional schooling, the stuff you might not think of. We've talked about the kind of obvious stuff in the past, but we're going to dive into some of the stuff that's maybe not so apparent, maybe a little bit more subtle. But before we do that, I just want to send a big thank you to all of you who listen to this podcast week in and week out. The loyal listeners that actually want to hear my voice and hear what I have to say. I think it's incredible. I know I'm big into this, but I just can't believe there's other people into this too who find value in what I'm thinking at the time. Really, I just kind of write these episodes week to week, and whatever's on my mind, me and my wife discussed this particular topic this week, so it became a podcast. And I appreciate you joining along in the discussion on the Facebook page and reaching out and giving a rating to help reach more people. We had a recent increase in downloads. More people are listening, which is great. We're approaching about 2,500. We should be there after this episode or by the end of this past week. At the time of this recording, it's a couple days before the week's end. But we should be there. And that's really incredible for only having that many episodes. In addition, I just looked it up. Right now, as far as global podcasts, this podcast, Unschool Unleashed, is ranked on Chartable, ranked number 13,967. I am under the 14,000 ranking. That's not a big deal to you, but the fact that I outrank anyone is a big deal to me. In fact, I just looked it up. In the United States of America on Apple Podcasts, I'm ranked in position 148 of all podcasts in the United States for education for kids. 148. That's pretty good. I better start taking this a little more seriously, huh? No, I'm just having fun here, and I hope you get value out of that. So with that, let's dive in. Traditional schooling methods create disadvantages for your children. That's what I'm going to argue today. That's my opinion, and I'm going to try and explain it as clearly as I can. Sometimes I talk in circles. Many of you have gotten used to that, I'm sure. Hopefully, I'm going to be able to put this nice and clear, because it's hard for me to express all the ways in which our children are disadvantaged by traditional schooling. There's many known ways that they're disadvantaged. Like stuff I've covered in other podcasts that I won't go into. Today I'm going to try and find some of the hidden things that you might not realize, that you might not even think about. And I'm going to make an argument for that. That it's a disadvantage for your children. Traditional schools are. I think that it sets them up for challenges as an entrepreneur and a freelancer. And when I talk about freelance, I'm talking about like the gig economy, okay? And don't scoff at this either. Freelancers are a huge percentage of the United States economy and probably becoming a big part of the world economy. Freelancing hit an all-time high here in the United States in 2023. An Upwork study found that 38% of all the U.S. workforce was freelance. I'm going to repeat that again. 38% of the U.S. workforce is freelance. That's over a third of the U.S. workforce. One in three people who are making money in the United States are doing it via freelancing. I'll link to that study in the show notes. Some of the things they say in this study are that the freelancers are 2.2 times more likely to use generative AI. And what I'm taking from that is they're more innovative. They're embracing newer technologies. They're adapting more quickly. Gen Z and millennials are most likely to freelance. Older generations, less likely. 85% of freelancers say the best days of freelancing are ahead. In fact, it's projected that over 50% of the U.S. workforce will be freelance by 2027. That's according to a site that monitors statistics called Statista. And what they did is they looked at the United States freelancers from 2017 and projected all the way out to 2028. And what they found was that, let me pull it up here. By 2027, 50.9% of the total U.S. workforce will be freelance. That does not include entrepreneurs, although it starts to get a little hazy and gray between the two. Whoa. In 2027, it'll be 86.5 million people will be freelancing. And then in 2028, it's projected that over 90 million people will be freelancing. That's huge, guys. So it's nothing to scoff at. I'm making an argument of how important it is to teach our children to be risk takers, to be self-directed, to be creative innovators, to be living in the real world where they can actually take something and make something out of it, a creator, right? And not just that. Lead others to do the same. Lead themselves and then their team, you know, if they're an entrepreneur. So the first segment I want to talk about, now that we've established that at the very least, freelancing is going to be the majority of work in the very near future, which is going to require a certain skill set, one of which is risk-taking, and that's what we're going to talk about first. I think schools stifle risk-taking. Schools promote a culture of perfectionism over and over and over again. Now, I'm not talking about those teachers who want you to take a little bit of a risk, who do this and that. No. That's not how the system's set up. That's a good teacher, okay? Emphasis is placed on achieving high grades, and it discourages risks. Why? Because your future depends on it. If you don't get a good grade on this test, you're going to blow this class. If you don't get a good grade in this class, you're not going to get into a good college. If you don't get into a good college, well, guess what? You're not going to be successful. That's their narrative, and they scare kids into thinking that it's going to be on your permanent record. It fosters a fear of failure at a time when children are most free to experiment and learn from mistakes. It's a time when it's the lowest risk to do so. Think about it. If they go broke, if they lose it all, they are still living in your house with a roof over their head, three square meals a day if you want them to have 3 to 5 square meals a day in the United States. They don't put anyone else in harm's way, meaning their children, their spouse, everyone else that might depend on them. This is the lowest risk time to take these risks, and they can learn from these risks and propel them into the future. Very big way. I think we learn more from failures a lot of times than we do from our successes. And let's allow them to fail. But the culture in schools is not of that. It's get it right every single time. Consider a student who avoids a challenging science project because he's fearful of a poor grade. They miss out on learning through trial and error. Instead of going with the innovative, cool science experiment that might actually find out something new, they go with the same old, the safe thing. They just get the good grade. It's the tried and true method, right? Don't take the risk. Just get the A and move on. every once in a while you hear about these kids who might get, you know, make some discovery. I read one, about one the other day. It made me laugh. I can't remember what it was about, but either way, it was like a middle school student who made a discovery and it made the news. They took a risk. Someone walked with them. That was not the school system that did that. That was a good individual who promoted risk-taking and encouraged that child to do so. They saw potential and they encouraged them. And that's what I'm arguing that we do, is that we get away from this culture of not taking risks. I think unschooling has an advantage, and I'm going to call this the unschooling advantage. Unschooling encourages exploration and learning from failure. You get to live in the real world. It helps children to embrace the challenges without the fear of grades. Real world is what we need to prepare them for. Why not go over and allow them to learn from the real world when they're lowest risk, when at the lowest risk time? There's tension between things. There's things we don't expect. That's the real world. It's risk. Let them live in it, especially when the risk is low of absolute destruction, meaning you're not going to lose that roof over your head and all that stuff. All right, I belabored that. I already covered what the future of work looks like, okay? This future job market that values risk takers, like freelancers and entrepreneurs, they have to navigate these uncertain environments and they need to innovate to succeed. Just imagine an entrepreneur who starts a successful online business after several failed attempts and they learn crucial lessons from each time they failed, okay? We need to embrace that failure and allow them to prepare themselves for that future of work. And I think the unschooling advantage within this is unschooling fosters an environment where practical experiments and real-world challenges take precedence over textbook perfection, preparing children for dynamic careers. In fact, it's interesting, and you can look this up, just Google it, but there's like a statistic floating around and who knows if it's real or not. But even if it's not, we could look in the past and see this happening. In the next 5 years, like half the jobs that exist in the United States don't even have a title yet because they don't even exist yet. That's probably an exaggeration by far, okay? But we can look at the past and start to see that this has actually played out within our lifetimes. For example, in 2007, or before 2007, we did not have app developers. What was an app? We didn't have the iPhone. There was no apps. All of a sudden, that exploded on the scene. Now, you know, fast forward 10 years later and we have all this, you know, AI engineers, machine learning engineers, all this stuff that did have titles, but it's really becoming more of a practical use thing now that we don't even have names for. Just different ways to use AI. And I think things are going to accelerate as time goes on. People are going to have not just one career, but multiple careers. They're going to do multiple different fields. Because one will be taken over by maybe technology or another one just becomes useless. And they transition to a new one and they take that experience from whatever career they had and compound it into the next. The future of work. The future of work depends on it. Or your child's success depends on that. Preparing yourself for the future of work, I should say. I think we need to promote a risk-taking mindset, that failure's okay, let's say. Let's call it an embracing failure mindset instead of promoting risk-averse mindsets. I think schools create a culture that limits children's potential to develop resilience and adaptability along with this. These are qualities essential for navigating a world dominated by freelancing and entrepreneurs. Just picture a young freelancer who thrives in an uncertain, you know, gig economy due to their early experiences with experimenting with, you know, different hobbies, different things they're interested in. Maybe it was they just like to create images online and then they were able to translate that to a business. These are the kinds of things we want to find out about ourselves and experiment with it. See what works, what doesn't. See what we always come back to, and then we can figure out our own advantage. In fact, the unschooling advantage is by allowing children to set their own learning paths. Unschooling builds adaptability, resilience more naturally than conventional learning, and you get to know more about yourself and what you really want to do. So I think that's a very clear advantage. And it's going to prepare children for the risks they're going to have to take. At least half the United States will in 2027, it's predicted. And beyond that, it's going to be even more. The majority of jobs will be freelance, and that doesn't even include entrepreneurs. The next segment I want to talk about is, I entitled it, Conformity Over Creativity. Schools encourage conformity. Curriculum and group settings prioritize consensus. They discourage students from developing unique individual visions necessary for leadership and innovation. Think about a student who suppresses his unique idea for a community project to go along with a more popular but less effective plan. We need to be able to test things, you know, A-B test things, if you're familiar with that term. What works, what doesn't. We don't just go with what consensus is. In fact, if you always go with what consensus is, you are going to have less innovation because the innovators, the creatives, the visionaries, those people see a future that does not yet exist, that most people cannot see. And then they create it. And then it becomes commonplace and everyone can see it because it's been proven. But those people are unique. We need to embrace those people who break the molds and not just conform to what everyone else does. Those aren't leaders to me. I think that the unschooling advantage with this is unschooling promotes individual thought and leadership by encouraging learners to pursue their own interests and projects. And I think this leads to innovative thinking. They're able to create their own vision. They see a future. They're able to mess with stuff, fail a couple times, learn from it, get back to doing whatever they're doing. And then they see a future that is not yet created. And then they can go create it. It's not rocket science, but it is convoluted at times, at least in my head. Moving on with the conformity aspect of traditional schooling and how it disadvantages our children. I think that this has a severe impact. This conformity has a severe impact on our future innovators. The lack of encouragement for independent thought in our schools, and it's not just in the public schools, it is now in our colleges, stifles the next generation of entrepreneurs and industry leaders. You have to be going against the mold to have independent thought. You are trained, you are taught, you are compelled to conform. And this is unfortunate to me. I always thought the United States was that the strongest thing we have is independent thought because we don't have anyone above us telling us how to think. I still think it's that way because we have a First Amendment. We can say what we want. And we can tell other people about what we want. And no one can stop us. That's under attack, of course. However, I think it still exists. I think the First Amendment is very strong. I don't want to belabor that. It's just my thoughts on it. I want to try and give an example of how independent thought is important. So let me talk about it. Maybe a creative thinker who later becomes a pioneer in renewable energy solutions. He sees a future that doesn't yet exist, and he is going to commit his life to doing it. You know, like Elon Musk did with electric cars. He really revolutionized that battery sector and how that's just gone wild. The cost has come way down for what you get. Schools do not prepare this independent thought. They want you to conform. However, the unschooling advantage is by not limiting children to learning a standard curriculum, unschooling allows children to explore and develop unique visions that can lead to groundbreaking innovations at a very young age. An eight-year-old can have world-changing ideas, I believe. I think that every single one of us is created unique. And I think that every single one of us is designed to contribute to making this world a better place, that we all have our own unique gifts. And as long, and our goal should be using these unique gifts to make this world a better place in whatever way is impactful to them. That's why I have, let's call this my third career, just going out into the entrepreneurial space, doing this podcast and doing the coaching along with it, doing other things. I want to test things. I want to see what works, what doesn't. Hey, that's risk taking. Not conforming. I practice what I preach. Moving on. I think, and this is the next segment I want to talk about, I believe there's an overemphasis on, this is hard to explain, I'm just going to call it individualism in learning or solo performance focus. School assessments like tests promote working alone over collaboration. Contrast that with workplace realities where teamwork and delegation are key. Think about a professional who excels in a collaborative project due to their early exposure in team sports, let's say. But when you are, which is great experience, I think it's probably the exception to this, school would not allow you to use those same tools. Because if I need to take a test, I need to know everything. And there's a great argument as to why that might be. But again, I'm talking about the culture here. It says you have to depend on yourself. Solo performance, individualism in learning. You are the only one you can depend on to know everything. You cannot delegate. You cannot work as a team. You must know this. You cannot divide up. I'm going to learn about this part of the project. You're going to learn about that part, and you're going to learn about that part of this test, I should say. And together, when we take this test, we're going to take it collectively. And as long as I'm an expert in this area, you're an expert in that area, we're just going to combine forces. That's how the real world works. But schools do not prepare you for that. I think unschooling often involves group learning, we'll call it, right? Let's say you have a friend who knows a lot about something and I know a lot about something. We combine forces, and that combining forces can create something new. I'm ambiguous with my example. I think it's better put in a real world scenario where I am an entrepreneur, where I'm a gig worker. Let's say entrepreneur, it's easier. An entrepreneur goes over and says, I want to start a business in cake baking. I'm going to make cakes. But I don't know how to bake cakes, but I love cake. I'm going to hire the best chef I can. I don't know how to make cakes, but I'm going to hire a chef to do so. And then I'm going to hire an accountant to understand a lot of the money side of things, some of the business side of things, at least as far as taxes and tracking my finances and understanding how my business is doing so I can project things. And then I'm going to hire someone to keep my shop clean. And they're going to specialize in that. And I'm just brainstorming here with like this example, but I'm going to hire someone to be a consultant to tell me how to sell my food so that it's compliant with all the regulations. I'm not going to study that. I'm just going to learn from them. And they're going to keep me up to date. Do you see how delegating this stuff is the real world in the entrepreneurial space? And even if you're a freelancer, you can't do everything, right? You just can't. You're still going to have an accountant or something similar, right? You're going to delegate this stuff out there. And the future of work depends on it. Moving on, I think there's a real world discrepancy. This is the next thing I want to discuss as far as one of my main topics here. The next category of things I want to talk about. Schools create a disadvantage by not learning early on how to effectively collaborate and leverage individual strengths within a team. I already kind of went into this. In fact, I already went into it and I jumped the gun. So I'm not going to talk about that anymore. But I will say the unschooling advantage. Unschooling environments emphasize collaborative efforts and learning through interactions and teamwork, delegation, finding other people to work with. I think that's a huge advantage. Now you can argue schools do the same thing, but I'm going to tell you, and you know this, if you've ever been to school, that is not normal. That is not the common path. You're getting grades. You are tested individually. You must know everything. You must do everything. That's the way it works. That's the way it works. And remember, in unschooling, you might think like, well, if I have a lazy kid, you know, in those group projects, we try and do that in school. In those group projects, you always get a lazy kid. So that's why they don't do that. And it's like, and if you were to take that kid and unschool him, he would just be the lazy kid. Well, according to unschooling philosophy, it's going to be interest-based. So therefore, the kid won't be lazy because they're actually interested in it and they're going to be self-motivated, because another part of the philosophy of unschooling is it's self-directed or child-led. And when I say self-directed, I'm talking about the child is the self. They're the ones leading it. So it could be in anything as long as they're interested in it. Moving on, I'd like to talk about the schools preparing followers and not leaders. I believe schools are employee factories. You put your kid into school, you're training them to be an employee. It is going against the grain. And if they are entrepreneurs on the other end of it, it's an exception, not the rule. The structured environment of schools prepares students to follow instructions. It's from the top down, rather than initiate their own actions. And I think this aligns more with an employee role than an entrepreneurial one. Just picture a former student who starts their own marketing firm, let's say, like a digital marketing firm. And they're overcoming the initial difficulties to become a leader in the field. That is going to require a lot of self-initiative. But when you're always being told what to do from the top, you know, your teacher, your school, your boss, you're relying on it. I can't tell you how many doctors I've talked to that by the time they get out of medical school, they're just kind of like, let me back up. I remember talking to people who applied for medical school, and the only reason they applied to medical school is because they were told they were smart, and they had the capability, and they didn't know what else to do. So it was what? Become an engineer, go to medical school. Get a PhD. They did it because they didn't know what else to do. They had to be told what to do. And school always tells you that more school is the best thing if you're good at it. So that's what they do. And then they're graduated from medical school, and I'm talking with residents, and they go, well, what do I want to be when I grow up? And they pick their fellowship. You know, their specialization is what we call it, a fellowship. And they're unhappy with the choice they made, because they just did what they were told. Because people who are good at school are good at doing what they're told. That's what smart is in school. I think smart is an independent thinker who's self-driven, who's fulfilling. The future that they were designed to create. I think we're all creators at hearts. And just top-down instruction telling you what to do and then you doing it is probably not good for your soul. Let's just say that. However, I think the unschooling advantage is that unschooling nurtures self-direction and innovation. These are qualities crucial for entrepreneurship and leadership, and freelancing for that matter. It does this by allowing children to choose what, how, and when they want to learn and what they want to do with their time. And as you get, and they want to create, they want to build, they want to do something. And I think that only gets stronger as they get older, as they become adults. So in conclusion of today's episode, I hope I was able to explain it clearly enough for you to understand what I'm saying. I'm just going to recap so that way it's crystal clear. Schools create a disadvantage because it does not encourage risk-taking, which I believe is vital for the future. Schools do not, schools create a disadvantage for students by making them conform instead of independent thought, becoming visionaries, becoming leaders, carving out their own path. Schools disadvantage your child because they teach you you have to do everything on your own instead of relying on others for help, which I think is the more human way to do it, meaning delegating, asking for help, not trying to know everything. And lastly, schools disadvantage your children because it's top-down instruction. Children are taught not to be self-starters. They need to be told what to do. And boy, oh boy, that's a big one. And with that, I'll end this episode. So stay curious, stay unschooled, and stay away from the algebra nightmares. I'll catch you in the next episode. Parents, are you terrified your unschooled child isn't learning enough? Or are you a homeschooling veteran eager to level up by incorporating in unschooling principles? Maybe you're newly venturing into homeschooling and already doubting your decision. Whatever the stage, overwhelm is real, but it doesn't have to be. I'm Matthew Jarecki from Unschooled Unleashed, and I've got huge news. I'm thrilled to introduce Homeschool Rescue, Unschooled Unleashed's signature coaching package. Whether you're all in on unschooling or just dipping a toe, this tailored coaching package is your roadmap to a confident and thriving education no matter how hectic life gets. Bold moves make bright futures. Join our Homeschool Rescue coaching program through the link in the description and set your child's genius free. So here's where we roll up our sleeves and bring out the big guns. If you support our mission, then please leave a review. On Unschooled Unleashed, we are talking about using a radical approach to education in today's world, and the more 5-star reviews we have, the more people will feel comfortable with the ideas, strategies, and principles we discuss. It gives legitimacy to our message, and the podcast's algorithm prioritizes us so we can reach more people. You may even have your 5-star review read on our podcast. Before I let you go, I have to pause and say this from the bottom of my heart. Thank you. Your presence here is the fuel that ignites this movement. I am incredibly moved that you trust in us enough to click play. You, my friends, are the caped heroes in this story, the guardians of your family's learning journey, and a beacon of hope for your community. Be bold. Do what you think is best for you and your family. Thanks again for tuning in and taking this courageously outside of the box for this educational revolution. Welcome to the front line.